Christmas Eve, went home. My parents and my brother was there, and we were playing around there a little bit and had some good family time together. And don't get to see my brother a whole lot, but thankfully he's moved to Johnson City, so I see him a little more now than I used to. And he was telling me how his little boy gets upset when he wears two different shoes. They're both white, but one of them was white with blue trim, and the other one was white with purple trim. And he said, "Now watch this." And he put two different shoes on, and his little boy would normally react, but this time he didn't react because he was so enamored with opening some presents. So my brother had a slight miscalculation in that he presumed he was going to give a reaction, and he didn't, right? And a little later on, my brother was opening a present and not paying real good attention, and took a pair of scissors and opened them, you know, all the way, and put his hand there and was cutting, and it knife through his thumb there real bad. We tried to wait 5 or 10 minutes, but it never would quit bleeding. And I said, "I'm going to take you to the hospital." And so we put him in the car and took him off the hospital. And he said, "Man, I hate you had to take me to the hospital." I said, "Are you kidding? I've been waiting to take you to the hospital for years." And we got him there, and we were there for about 3 hours or so. But we hadn't been there just a few minutes. And he looked down and he said, "Oh, great. Here I am at the hospital, me being a doctor, getting ready to get my thumb sewed up." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" He said, "And I got two different shoes on." And I told him, "That's the way they do it in Tennessee, right? That's the way they do it." And we went on back there. Nobody ever said a word until finally the nurse came in there. And she said, "Cool shoes." You know, it kind of embarrassed him some, dropped his pride a little bit. We had, it's hard to believe, but good fellowship in the hospital. You can have good fellowship in the hospital. And then this week, I dreamed, and I don't believe much in dreams. I don't dream very much, but I dreamed this week that on Sunday night, I come to church. We were all gathered here, and I got up, and as I was sitting there, for some reason, I didn't have anything to preach. Not a thing. And I went up to the pulpit, and God began to show me and speak to me about shoes as I come up to approach the pulpit. Now, I realize that, you know, we've all got shoes, and praise God that we do have shoes. A lot of folks don't, but I want to study about shoes just a little bit tonight. If God would help us and maybe we'd get something out of it or not, I don't know. But this is what I feel like. That started bothering me, and it got me to thinking this week and started running a few references. And, you know, it's in there a lot, but not as much as you'd think. And so I want to begin in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 11. I want to preach about shoes. Now, remember, last week we preached about the staff and what the staff may have meant to David or may have meant to Jacob there when he worshiped leaning up on his staff, remember? And how they had notched the staff. And one of the points there was in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, talking about the Passover, you know, where they selected a lamb, it became the lamb they selected, and then it became your lamb in verse number 5. And the Bible said in verse 7, if you'd stand with me, we'll read a few verses. In verse 7, "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it to the morning you shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it." In other words, this lamb you've offered, that you put the blood, you put on the doorpost and on the lintel, then you're going to take this lamb and you're going to partake of it. He says, this is how you're supposed to eat it. "Thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, these are wonderful verses. The Passover, the blood, the lamb, they all point, realize, to Jesus Christ. Even the staff in your hand, we realize what that means. And tonight we talk about the shoes on your feet. And we sing that song about thanking the Lord for a roof over our head and shoes on our feet. And so often when we sing that song, I look down and I thank the Lord for shoes on my feet. I don't have a lot of shoes, but I have enough. God has provided more than enough for me, amen, to keep my feet dry and keep them from being roughed up and scruffed up, amen? Praise God for shoes. So I want to study tonight about the shoes on their feet. Why do we think God told them to eat it quickly, have a staff in their hand, and keep their shoes on? Some of you eat with your shoes off. Why do you want them to eat with their shoes on? Because they're getting ready to travel. They were. That night the death angel was coming, and they were going to pass, and the death angel was going to pass over them, and they're getting ready to get out of Egypt, headed to the Canaan land. Amen? And every Passover they eat it with the shoes on. Praise God. Let's think about shoes tonight. Lord, we ask you to hide us behind the cross. Help us not to see Darren, but help them to hear Jesus tonight. Father, I ask that you would just speak to us from heaven. Help us to be obedient, yielded to you tonight. Father, we thank you for all that's been accomplished in the service already. We appreciate the good singing of the choir, the good special song, the time of prayer with folks gathered around us. We thank you for that. It means everything to us. And Lord, tonight I pray, God, you know, all afternoon long we've prayed about what to do this evening. We've laid on our face before you. And God, we're dependent on you tonight, God, to take care of this message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. So they're getting ready to travel. Shoes on their feet. And they get out in the wilderness. You know, they cross over the Red Sea. They get out there in the wilderness. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse number 5, let's speak about the Lord's provision. Praise God, he's provided for us a good pair of shoes. Amen. Praise God for that. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse number 5, the shoes on their feet. He said this. You know, they got disobedient, but yet God still took care of them. He said in verse 5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. For 40 years, their clothes and their shoes did not get old. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wear a pair of Sunday slippers. I got a pair of black ones, and usually they'll last me about a year, and they're gone, if I'm blessed. Amen. They'll last that long. But their shoes went 40 years. Now, some of you men may say, praise God, I didn't have to buy no new women's shoes. Amen. Didn't have to go have one with a gunny sack or the toe sack dress. Didn't get them in blue, aqua. All, you know, you girls is bowed up on me right there. What they had, God provided, and it didn't wax old on her foot for 40 years. And you may say, boy, it must have had foot odor, it must have had a lot of problems, but I don't think they had that either. I believe God took care of them, and God provided. Yeah. Amen? We're just trying to lay a little groundwork here. In the book of John, chapter 1, I want to speak, number 2, we've seen provision number 1, number 2, let's think about preeminence. Old John the Baptist is preaching. And he says in John chapter 1, verse 27, he it is, he's speaking about the one who's going to come, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. One of the other gospels says I'm not worthy to bear his shoes. And here he says I'm not even worth to touch or undo the shoe latchet of this one. And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The preeminent one is Jesus. And notice down here in about, chapter number 3, verse number 30, John the Baptist made this statement about Jesus. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. That's what needs to happen at Bethel. We need to figure out that He is the preeminent one. The Bible says He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And Colossians says that He might be the preeminence or have the preeminence in all things. He's the preeminent one in all things. Amen? And here at our church, we must understand that we're not worthy to touch His shoelace. We're not worthy. And furthermore, you and I are not worthy of anything but to say, He must increase at Bethel, and I must decrease. He's the preeminent one. Back in Luke chapter 15, I'm trying to rush through as quick as I can. I got 5 points, and I'm on number 3 already. You'll say, praise God. Luke chapter 15, we see a young man that's a prodigal. He went and wasted all he had on riotous living. He got in a famine, got down there in the hog lot, and he said in verse 18 or verse 17, he says, How many hired servant of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The prodigal, he deserved to be beaten. He deserved to be kicked. But when he come home, he said, Father, I've sinned against you. And the father, he ran out before he ever confessed his sin. He ran out to meet him, fell on his neck. Yeah. And he said, This is my boy. Yeah. He's been down there in the hog lot, the stench of sin. He ain't got much clothing on his back. Bring out the royal robe. Put it around him. Yeah. Go get my ring, which says he's still part of my family. Put it on his finger. Yeah. And go get some shoes. And put on his feet. I'm telling you what, that's love. And that every one of us in this church, we've been a prodigal at some point or another. I have, number one. And I'm glad that when I came to my father, he was willing to meet me and forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And he put the robe of righteousness on my back. Give me the ring to be one of his children. Amen. And he gave me the shoes on my feet. And he said, I want you to go kill a fatted calf. And we're going to eat and be merry. Praise God for a father like that. Amen. Who would provide us shoes that we might be his children. Amen. It's a testimony to him how he takes care of us. He's good to us. Amen. And then over here in Romans chapter 10. We've talked about the prodigal being part of the family. Point number 4 in Romans chapter 10. Verse number 15. I want to speak a little bit about the preparation. He says, How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God will take care of His preacher. He will take care of His man. The man that's willing to go forth and to preach, he said, I think his speech beautiful. And I got to reading over there in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. He says, Stand there, therefore in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He will take care of your feet, men of God. A lady Sir, God will take care of every need you have.
Amen.
I can't take care of nothing for you, but I know one who can.
Amen.
The function of our church is to point us or point others to someone who can. And I'm glad, amen, tonight that Jesus can. He prepares us. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've seen His provision. We've seen His preeminence. We've seen the prodigal. We've seen how He prepares us. Amen? And He takes care of our feet. But last of all, we want to anchor right here. I want to think, in all these aspects, we've seen what happens with the shoes going on. He said, put your shoes on when you eat the lamb. When the prodigal came home, he said, I want you to put your shoes on. For the preacher, he says, you got beautiful feet, but I want them shod. I want your shoes on with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want your shoes on. Number five tonight, I want to think about the promise when the shoes come off. Come home this afternoon. Went out to eat. And I sat down. And I took my shoes off. These are just a little bit tight around my feet. I got really wide feet. A little bit tight. Thought, boy, I want to get my shoes off and relax my feet. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The same. Go back there to Exodus then. Book of Exodus. Chapter 3. Verse 1, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, a priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. There's Moses at the burning bush. God told him to take his shoes off because he's on holy ground. I need not remind you tonight where we are. Joshua chapter 5. The promise of taking your shoes off. Joshua chapter 5. The children of Israel have crossed now and they're outside Jericho. Israel's not a people of war. They don't know how to fight. Just a bunch of youngins, basically, that's come out of the desert experience. Joshua's their leader now. And he looks over his people and he knows, we think we're ready, but we're not ready for what's about to take place. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, verse 13, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. I thought about that as I saw that baby lifting up his eyes and looking. And lifted up his eyes and looked, and I thought, I want to look too. I looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the Lord of hosts, of the host of the Lord, am I now come. Joshua fell on his face of the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua was on the holy ground too. I did think it was strange where he said, loose your shoe, not shoes, plural. He might have already had one of them off. I don't know. Or maybe it's just one at a time. I don't know. But holy ground, y'all. I need not remind you again where you are tonight. Who lives inside you. Amen. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, and we'll try to close. The book of Ruth, chapter 4. You remember the story of Ruth? A woman by the name of Naomi and her husband Elimelech. They leave the land of Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise, and they go to a place called Moab. We talked about Moab this morning. And they get down there in Moab, and Elimelech dies. The boys got married. Mahlon and Chilion, the boys, they both die. Their wives, one named Orpha, one named Ruth. Naomi heard there was bread back up there in Bethlehem, Judah, and said to Orpha and Ruth, you girls stay here, you're Moabitesses. I'm going to go back as an Israelite, as a Hebrew, back to the land of promise, back to the land of bread. And both of them said, we're going to go with you. And now she said, don't you dare come with me. You're Moabite girls, your people's here. And Orpha said, yeah, that's right. And she hugged her and kissed her and went back. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Your people's my people. She clave unto Naomi. They head back. She being a Moabitess, a Gentile outcast, vile, wretched. The Bible even says about a Moabite person that they're not allowed to come into the temple of God until the 10th generation's passed. Moab was a wash pot. It's a flesh pot to God, a trash can. But anyway, she goes back with Naomi. They don't have anything there. No, they're poor. They're in debt. They're broken. They have nothing. They come back and they meet one by the name of Boaz. You know, Ruth goes out to glean for the wheat, the barley harvest there in a field. You know, they had a law there that said the corners of the field you can't reap. That's for the poor people to come and reap. But somehow Ruth was invited to come on even out, and they laid her handfuls of purpose. Remember that?
Yeah.
She got down. She gleaned it. Man, she gleaned it. Come home. Showed Naomi. Look what I got. Where'd you get that? One named Boaz. Oh my. Boaz. He's one of our kinsmen. That's interesting. Chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate. When you ever see the word gate in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, know that this is just about to be court in session. This is a legal place. He comes to the gate. And he set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. You see, Boaz was a kinsman of Naomi's, but there was one closer to Naomi than Boaz. He was a nearer kinsman than Boaz. And now this feller, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake, he came by. Unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside and sit down here. He turned aside and sat down. In other words, let's sit down the gate. Let's discuss business just a minute. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he's getting some witnesses. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. Her husband had it. She's in debt up to her eyeballs. They've got to sell that land. And he said, I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou not wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there's none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. You know, Boaz said, if you want to buy that land, it's good property. If you want to buy it, you're the closest kinsman. I'm advising you. If that's what you want to do, do it. But if not, let me know, because I'd like to have it. And the kinsman said, you know what? I would like to have that. And so that other kinsman said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. In other words, don't forget when you buy it, you've got to marry Ruth, because the law says that, you know, if that redeemer comes along, that you've got to marry his wife and raise up seed. That's Deuteronomy chapter number 29. It's all in there, verse number 5. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Wait a minute, you just said you was going to. What happened? He said, lest I mar mine own inheritance, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Something changed there, didn't it? When he heard he was going to have to get married, that scared him away, boys. Here's what he thought. That's a Moabite girl. My family's Hebrew through and through. If I marry her, it's going to scar and mar my reputation. It's going to make me look bad. They're going to talk about me. I might not be accepted. I might be shunned by my brethren. You know, I've thought about that, Boaz, and now that land I was thinking about buying, I don't think I want it after all. He said, you redeem it, I can't redeem it. Now, this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. You know how they signified so? The legal custom was that he was supposed to take off his shoe to say, I'm not going to raise up children for someone else in this land I'm getting ready to redeem. I'm taking off my shoe, surrendering the opportunity to you for you to do what you want to with it. And we realize, Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day. They have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's, all that's Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead not be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place you are witnesses this day. God said, Moses, from the burning bush, I want you to take your shoes off, because the ground on which you stand is holy. Joshua, you take off your shoes because the ground on which you're standing is holy. I see that, don't you? We've been in unclean places. We've walked in Lord knows what. And we ought to be careful with where we step and how we walk. Amen? I see that. But there's something else kind of grabs me. When this other redeemer took off his shoe and passed it on to Boaz, it grabs me bad. When you take off your shoes, you got to get down on your knees. You humble yourself. Amen. I looked up my shoes today. God said, you get your shoes off because the ground you're on is holy. I was there in the study. I looked down at my shoes. I said, God, I see that. I see it. I don't understand this Ruth chapter 4 thing real good, but I see that. And God said, don't forget. I can't get in your shoes until you get out of them. Moses, you'll never deliver them. Not in your strength or in your flesh. You're on holy ground. You surrender your shoes to me. You let me go before you. You let me feel you. You let me lead you. You let me be the one. You follow behind me. Joshua, you don't know nothing about fighting Jericho. You surrender your shoes to me. You get your shoes off. You're on holy ground. They're unclean. But second of all, I can't get in your shoes, Joshua, until you give them to me. Boaz, I can't buy this. I can't redeem it. So I'm going to surrender to you my shoes. I'm going to say, here they are. You do with them what you can. And Boaz redeemed her. God, thinking about that. Fight so many battles, get in the flesh. We've got to give them to God. Not just our battles. Our shoes. The preacher, what are you talking about? He can walk where I can't walk. He can win the fight when I can't win. He can save and redeem when I can't save and redeem. I got on my knees this afternoon and said, Lord, I've never seen like this. I said, Lord, I'm not the kinsman redeemer, but you are. There's my shoes. Surrendered, sir. You pastor that church. You preach tonight. You take care of the afflicted. You be concerned about the sick. I surrender, sir, to thee. Hey, some of you got lost family members. I can't save them. You can't either. But boy, if you just get out of your shoes for a minute and give them to God, watch what He can do in your shoes, with your shoes, for His glory, you'd be amazed at that. Hey, some of you have lost your jobs. You suffer loss. People sick. Hey, you can't keep God out of this equation anymore in your life. You've got to get out of your shoes and let Him get in them. I'm talking about taking your shoes off. I'm talking about actually humbling yourself before Him. Not just saying it, but I'm talking about doing it. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. He said, whatsoever therefore is not of faith in the book of Romans, He said, is sin. I said, Lord, I want you to fill my shoes. I want you to do my walking. I want you to lead the way. I want you to guide me. I want you to help me. I want you to inspire me. I want you to strengthen me. I want you to guide me in all things. You realize I'm limited by time. I'm limited by space and capacities. But He is omniscient, omnipresent. He is an all-wise, knowing God. And He can be anywhere, about anything at one time. I got to think when I look down at my shoes. Lord, I want you to lead me, yeah. I want you to guide me, yeah. But when you do that, I want to warn you. He may go a little different than you want Him to. It may turn out a little different than you think. And when you run up that white flag, you're saying, I surrender all to Him. And I want to say to you tonight, you better get concerned and not worry about, well, what if it turns out different? And you better say, it don't matter. I just want to go God's way anyway. If He ain't in it, I don't want to be a part of it. I just want to go God's way anyway. It's what I want. After all, He knows the way to heaven. I don't. He knows where the church needs to go. I don't. So take my shoes. You use them for your glory. My wife has gone to share. I went and got every pair of shoes I had on the place. I carried them all in one big old pile and straightened them out nice and neat. And I'm out there and said, God, I know I'm on holy ground. And these shoes have been in some God-forsaken places, I know. But I'm going to ask you that you'd lead me wherever, whatever pair of shoes I got on. I want to take them off right now. I'm going to ask you to walk in them. You'd lead me and you'd guide me. I couldn't stop there. He said, now what do you want to do? I said, I want to get my wife's shoes. I went and got her shoes. Laid them there in that altar. Me and God just got alone. Went and got Shelby's shoes. Went and got Luke's shoes. Said, God, would you feel their shoes? Would you walk for them? Would you guide them? Would you protect them? Would you give them wisdom? Friend, I can't do it for you. It's got to be what you want to do, what you desire to do. But tonight, shoes have a purpose in the Word of God. Do you see it? He provides for us and He gave us shoes. Points to His preeminence. We're not worthy to unloose His shoe latchet. Many of us have backslid, and like the prodigal, He's still called us His child. Tonight He let us stand and preach the gospel. feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And there was a promise. He said, you're on holy ground. I agree with him. 110%. And he said, I can't get in your shoes. And I can't do anything about your problems and your needs until you get out of them. So, Lord, I say again, here they are. You do with them what you want. In Jesus' name I pray. You stand at your feet. Would you open your Bible one more time? I want to show you one more thing. It's just hit me like a ton of bricks. Ruth chapter 4. Read it with me. So Boaz, verse 13, took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. All the way down to verse 18. The women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi. That's the grandma. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, of Moabites, the Gentile. Father of King David. Isn't that something? You realize, I tried to study it out. From Moses to David, is pert near 10 generations. He said, a Moabite will not enter my house 10 generations. There's David on the throne. God had it all mapped that whole time. Amen. He knows what you need tonight. Some of these folks already moved. Your head's bowed. There's nobody looking. Preacher, what's that child thing? Well, that could be physical, yeah. But it could be spiritual. Hey, my name could be some baby, some child, some man, some woman be birthed. New birth, second birth. In the kingdom of God, you know who they are. Preacher, I can't surrender my shoes. You sense a need to come tonight, you better come. Somebody needs to come and say, you know what, Lord? That's the truth. I want you in my shoes. I want you in my shoes. I want to be led and guided by you. I take them off. I surrender them to the kinsman redeemer. He's the one who can do something about it. And I know I'm on hallowed, holy ground tonight. Maybe there's somebody sick. They're afflicted. Maybe they have a need. Preacher, if I could take my shoes off for them, say, God, would you take this? You go to where they are. Would he do that? He can do anything. Nothing's impossible to him. You bind him tonight. Amen. All hearts and minds clear tonight. Old devil said, that don't change nothing. Go ask him in Jericho what happened. Huh? Ask the Egyptians what happened. God parted the Red Sea. Huh? God will make a way for you too, friend. He already has, and he'll continue to do so. Amen. All right, we need to have a quick meeting tonight, business meeting.